Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed. What a beautiful song to open up the message. We ought to give our heart of worship to God right where we are. We don't just necessarily have to be in the church building. You can actually be at work. You can be on the way to work. You can be on the way to the grocery store. And you can have a moment of intense worship with God right where you are. So let's look from God in prayer this morning. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for this third Sunday. We thank you, Lord God, for what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard. We pray that our homes become a place of an altar for your manifest presence to be there, so that we're always in your manifest presence wherever we go. So God, I pray that you move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me as this word goes forth. So God, we love you, we thank you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, happy Sunday to you all. I am so thankful that you joined us on this live stream today. And my prayer is that something will be said that will enrich your spirit, man, help you grow spiritually, because we all, we are about here at NBCC loving God, investing in others, and valuing community. So I just want to say thank you for joining. I know there's many millions of live streams that you could have joined today. So I say thank you for joining our live stream. Well, so you know what that means. It's time to get directly into the word. And how many of you all have been enjoying our series this month, The Functions of a Healthy Church? The Functions of a Healthy Church. This has been a phenomenal series. It's been a really great series, and I'm loving the build and how we are growing and how we're getting better. So today, I want to talk about something that I believe that everybody needs when it comes to church. I believe everybody needs this when it comes to church. So I want to talk on a topic today for this function of the healthy church, being commitment. Type in the comments, commitment. A lot of times we have some commitment issues because we're not committed to God. And so we have some issues when it comes to that. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And I'm going to be reading this from the New Living Translation, the NLT. And you can follow along right here under the screen right here. You can follow along. And this is what it says. It says, all the believers devoted themselves, keyword devoted, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals in great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Wow, that was a lot to read, I know. So I want to read it in the Passion Translation too. It says this. It says, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in the fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful, They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually fulfilled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. A key word that stood out to me when I read this passage was word number four. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What's another word for devoted? Committed, commitment. The question is now, what are you committed to? See, many times people are committed to the wrong people. They are committed to the wrong ideas. There's a lot of people committed to the wrong ideas about what church is and the Bible and if Jesus is real and there was no J back in Hebrew and all of this. And people are committed to all of these Google ideas. People are committed to the wrong energy. And where your commitment goes, your life flows. I'm going to say it again. Where your commitment goes, your life flows. And so that's why it's important for us to be committed to God. Because when we are committed to God, then our life will flow in the way that God created for it to flow. See, listen to this. If I am committed to chasing money, my life will always be that of chasing the next dollar. If I'm committed to chasing money, if I'm always committed to chasing the M's, but I'm always taking L's, a shout out to somebody, they'll get it. So if I'm committed to that, then my life will always be focused on money. And so my life is not to be focused on money because money, the love of money is the root of all evil. So if I commit my mind to just focus on making money, then I'm missing out on my purpose that God has for me. So my commitment to the wrong things in life will always hold me back from being the significant person God created me to be. See, you were born significant. I know you've heard me say that the last few weeks. You were born significant. See, your significance is not hidden in things. It's not hidden in achievements. It's not hidden in people. It's not hidden in places. Your significance is hidden in Christ because your life is hidden in Christ. And so that's why it's important for us to set our mind on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And so my commitment is important. So listen to this. I'm excited for this. I can just feel it all right in here. I'm really excited for this. So I'm going to have to try to calm myself down, but not really. So listen to this. In order for a church to function and be healthy, it takes commitment from the community of believers within the church. In order for NBCC to function healthily, I know I just made up a word there, but in order for NBCC to function and be healthy, it's going to take commitment from you. See, God did not just create you to just sit on the sidelines and just watch everybody else, you know, give their commitment and, you know, that church thing, it ain't for me. And I just come pay my tithes and come hear a good word and I go home. Look, I believe that's great. We're thankful. But I believe that God is calling us in this time to get committed, because when we get committed, then we see our life blossom in a way that it has never blossomed before. See, I've been a part of churches where I just sat in the pews and just, you know, sat in the chairs and just, you know, just been a fly on the wall. And my life didn't really, you know, advance. But when I got committed, I started to see my life advance. I started to see my life get better because I was committed. I was committed to that community of believers. See, God doesn't want us to just be a spectator. He just doesn't want you to walk in the doors or just be a spectator on your couch or be a spectator in your bed or be a spectator at your desk. He wants you to be a participator. And in order for you to participate, you have to be committed. Your commitment to your local body shows how committed you are to spiritually growing. Because you are to be connected to the community, right? Because week one, we talked about connection. Week two, we talked about community. This week, we are talking about commitment. And so we are to be connected to the community. And when we are connected to the community, then we are committed to the community. Your dollars are not just supposed to be the only commitment that's supposed to happen, because God has placed within you a gift, a special gift. He's given everybody a grace gift. And in order for you to see that gift unfold and come out of you, you have to be committed to the house. So God created you to be committed so that you can be a part of advancing the kingdom of God. See, the pastor in the church is not the only one who's supposed to advance the kingdom of God. I know that's been the model for decades and probably eons. The pastor's supposed to do all the work. But listen, when we all come together and we are all committed to this community, to this body of believers, guess what happens? Then we will see NBCC grow like never before. And I believe that NBCC is going to grow like never before. God has been showing me the dreams on multiple occasions, the place being so full that we have to go to multiple services. And that is in our vision. We've been saying that for years. And so in order for that vision to come to life, it's going to take your commitment. It's going to take your commitment in time. It's going to take your commitment in talent. It's going to take your commitment in treasure. Because when you are committed to the community, then your life will change forevermore. And so listen to this. In order for you to flourish in life, you have to be planted. See, any seed that is planted is committed to the ground with which it is in. So when you plant a seed in the ground, the seed don't say, well, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be committed to this growing. I don't want to be committed to this growing process, or I don't want to be committed to this dirt. I'm going to uproot myself and just be on top of the grass. And guess what happened? Your seed, your plant may grow, but it won't grow roots. It won't grow roots because in order for a seed to unfold, it has to grow down first. It has to be committed to the soil in order for it to grow up. See, a lot of times, a lot of people come to church and they're not committed. And so they're like that seed on top of the grass. And so they grow, but when something happens, they get blown away immediately. Have you noticed that when a tree is deeply rooted in the ground and it has roots, then those roots help sustain the growth of the tree? And so, thank you, Holy Spirit. In order for you to sustain, the growth, your spiritual growth, you have to grow down. You have to be planted, and you have to be committed to where you are planted. Because when you are committed to where you are planted, then you grow down, you grow roots. And if something happens, you're not easily blown away. You're not easily tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine, because you are planted, you are committed to the soil with which you are in. So Psalm chapter 92, verse 13 explains this. And this is David talking, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says this. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So my question to you is, are you planted or are you hovering? See, a lot of times we're just hovering when it comes to church. We're not fully planted. We're just hovering. But when you get fully committed, when you get fully planted, then that's when you will see your life flourish like never before. So the question is, What must I be committed to in order to flourish? What must I be committed to in order to flourish? Number one is this. You must be committed to community. You must be committed to community. And so this is what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. This is what it says. It says, you are always and dearly loved by God, so robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. And so you must be committed to community, because your true maturity comes in how well you love. Your true maturity comes in how well you forgive. Because I know you often hear the meaning for forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. And so God loves you so much that he has forgiven you. And so why not allow this same forgiveness that you have received to be administered to other people who may have offended you? And so when you are truly committed to community, you are committed to connection, affection, and protection. I'm going to say that again. When you are truly committed to community, you are committed to connection, affection, and protection. And so remember last week where we talked about the community is for affection, protection, and connection, or connection, affection, and protection. That's what community is about. That's what community is about. So when we understand that we are always loved by God, we will allow those in our community to experience that same love by how we treat them. See, you have weaknesses, right? I have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. I'm not saying that we should dwell on our weaknesses, but I'm saying that you should be, the scripture says, to tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. And so my weakness may not be your weakness. And so when I'm committed to community, then I understand that, and I show you mercy, and I give you love, and I help restore you if you fall, because that's what community is about. And so when you are committed to community, it's not about uncovering your sins. It's about covering you with love. Now, I'm not saying that we're not people that hold people accountable. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this, that when you are committed to community, then you are committed to the growth, and you are committed to the growth of not only yourself, but of others as well, because you have weaknesses just as I have weaknesses. And so we have to grow in those areas. We have to allow Christ to come. We have to allow Holy Spirit to come in and prick our heart and to enlighten our heart to our weaknesses so we can grow. And so when you are committed to community, listen to me, you are committed to the total well-being of everyone in the community. See, when you are committed to community, community is not just for you. It's not just about you. It's about everyone. So when you are committed to the well-being of everyone, then you, I'm getting real excited. I'm about to get on it, get out of my seat. But when you are committed to the well-being of everybody, that's what community is about. And so we are to be committed to one mind. We are to be committed to one mind. So that means that when I'm committed to one mind in our community, then that means that I hold everybody in high esteem. It doesn't matter what they did, in the past, what they did yesterday. That's irrelevant to me. What I am committed to, I'm committed to community. So that means I am committed to one mind. So this is what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 16. This is what it says. It says, live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset thinking you are too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Aren't you tired of people in community or in church that think they know everything? They think they know, you know, they think they know every single thing. They think they know everything in the world. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Because there's so much that I can learn, there's so much that you can learn. And when you stop learning, guess what happens? You stop growing. And so it's important for us to learn. It's important for us to grow in community. It's important for us to be committed to community, because when we are committed to community, then we hold one another accountable. And so listen to this. This is really good. When the Holy Spirit gave me this, I was like, wow, that's really good. See, when I am committed to you and you are committed to me in community and we are committed to God, we see our ability to accomplish things skyrocket. So when I'm committed to community, you're committed to community, and the community is committed to God, then we see things skyrocket. We see our function. We see our ability. I remember last week when I showed the tsunami and the raindrop, and how the raindrop barely moved the leaf, but when I showed the tsunami, it was moving cars and everything like that. See, we have to move like the tsunami. And so when we are committed to one another, when we are committed to community and our community is committed to God, then our function and our ability supersedes just one person. Excuse me. And so remember I said last week, alone you can go fast, but together we can go far. See, when I'm committed to community, when you're committed to community, then we're committed, we're like joined together. So alone I could go fast, but together I can go far, because when we go far in community, we are committed to one another, so we're able to hold one another up. And so this is what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says this. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So when we are committed to community, our hearts are linked to the well-being of that community. When we are committed to community, our hearts are linked to the well-being of the community. See, when we are committed to community, our lives are enriched. When you are committed to community, your life will be enriched like never before. When we are committed to community, see, it's a win-win for everybody involved. See, it's supposed to be a win-win when it comes to church. It's not supposed to be a win-lose, where I win, you lose, or you win, I lose. It's a win-win. So when we are committed to community, then we help each other win. We help each other be significant. Because remember, success is for you, but significance is for everyone. And so when I am committed to community, then I am committed to the well-being and the significance of everybody in that community. See, most times, see, people don't want to be committed to the community because they feel as if they are not significant or they will not make a significant impact. Remember, you are significant. If you never hear it again in your life, I want you to hear from Pastor Jay. You are significant. And since you are significant, then it's important for you to be committed to community. Because I believe you are significant. I believe that God has placed within you something significant to share with us, to help us become better. And so I've been sent to let you know this, that when you that what you contribute to community through your commitment will cause us to better reach the lost and advance the kingdom of God. So what are you saying, Pastor Jay? I'm saying this. We can't do this alone. I need you. I need you to be committed, because when you're committed, then you can sow your gifting. And we're going to talk about gifting next week in clarity. So when you sow your gifting, guess what happens? It makes everybody better. It makes everybody better in that community, because we are to inspire one another. We are to encourage one another as we see the day coming. Don't forsake the assembly of others. Don't forsake the assembly as some have done, made it a habit of. But we are here to encourage each other as we see the day coming. And so Christ is coming back again. We don't know the time nor the hour. And so since we don't know that, then it's important for us to encourage one another. And so when we encourage one another, then we're saying we're committed to the community. And so number one, we need to be committed to community. What's another thing we need to be committed to, Pastor Jay? It's this. We need to be committed to growth. We need to be committed to growth. See, your spiritual growth is important. Your spiritual life matters. And when you understand that your spiritual life matters, you will get committed to a life-giving, kingdom-advancing community so that you can see you can be fulfilled in the will of God. So did you know that in community, when I get better, you get better? Did you know that? That's why I always, Pastor Jay, you can ask Lady P. I'm always reading a book. I'm always reading scripture. I'm always studying. I'm always trying to go deeper because I understand the principle of growth. I understand the principle of improvement, because when I get better, you get better. So it's not just for the pastor to get better. It's for you to get better as well. So whatever gifting that God has called you to sow into NBCC, when you hone that craft and you get better in your gifting and your calling, guess what happens? We get better, because it's a win-win. It's not just about me getting better. It's about we getting better, and that's what it's about. And so we should be committed to growing so that our community can grow. Do you know that people are attracted to quality? See, if we were just to half-heartedly put this together and put this live stream together, it would probably irk your nerves. I know it would irk my nerves. So that's why, Pastor Jay, that's why I'm always studying and how we can get better. Because when we get better, then everyone connected to us gets better. And that's what it's about. It's about us getting better. See, when the Acts 2 church got better, they grew. Because when you get better, you grow. Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that when you read something or you learn something, your mind will never, when your mind is expanded to a new place, it will never go back to the original dimensions of what it once was? And so that's why it's important for you to get better. Because when you are committed to growth and you get better, we get better. And when we get better, then we are able to bring glory to God's name. See, we want to make God happy. We want to make God smile. We want to make God smile. And so when something is not healthy, listen to this. When something is not healthy, it is either not growing or has a growth disorder. When something is not growing, it is either not healthy or it has a growth disorder. And so a lot of times the reason why we don't grow in certain areas is because we have not been committed to growth. We have not been committed to improvement. We have not been committed to getting better. Even Jesus had to grow. Even Jesus had to grow. There's a scripture that says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so it's important for us to grow, because if you're saying you want to be like Jesus, it's important for you to grow. And so when you are not growing in the wisdom and knowledge of God, it often leads to stagnancy. When you're not growing in the wisdom and the knowledge of God, it often leads to a stagnant life. And a lot of people have a stagnant spiritual life because they have not been committed to growth. But I come to let you know that here at NBCC, we want you to be committed to growth. We want you to be committed to your spiritual growth. We want you to be committed to your emotional growth. We want you to be committed to your mental growth, to your financial growth, to your physical growth, to growth in your relationships. Because when you grow, you get better. See, if the enemy can get you stagnant, he can stunt your growth. And a lot of people in the church, the enemy has gotten them stagnant and he stunted their growth. But here at NBCC, we're going to love God, we're going to invest in others, and we're going to value community. I'm going to say it again. Here at NBCC, we're going to love God, we're going to invest in others, and we're going to value community. And that's going to be our discipleship process, because it's time for us. I believe we've gotten people ready to go to heaven, but we hadn't been good on making disciples. And we're going to talk about the Great Commission on the fifth Sunday. And so it's important for us to grow. So when we are committed to growth, then we get better. See, in community, when we grow together, we grow better. See, the Acts 2 church, they grew together because they went from house to house, fellowshipping with one another, taking the Lord's Supper. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And guess what? The scripture says, and the Lord added to them daily those who were being saved. That's the type of growth I'm looking to see happen at NBCC, for God to add daily those who were being saved, because there are millions, maybe even billions of people who have not been saved yet. And it's up to us to be the ones to advance the kingdom of God. So that's why we have to be committed to community and committed to growth. This is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says this. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So when we grow, we get better, and we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this is why it is important for you to be committed to growth, because when you are committed to growing, you are committed to knowing more and more of who God is. I'm going to say that again. That was a lot. This is why it is important for you to be committed to growth, because when you are committed to growing, you are committed to knowing more and more of who God is. See, God wants us to grow in him so we can show him to everyone in our community. See, not just our community here at NBCC, but those in the community as well, the unchurched, the lost souls. And so it's important for us to grow in him so we can show him to everyone we come in contact with. Listen to this. Could you imagine a community who were all committed to growth individually, which were equal to growth collectively? Could you imagine that? See, I imagine that for NBCC. I imagine that for us to grow individually, to grow in our gifting, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to grow in what God has gifted us to do. See, when we grow in that, if everybody is committed in the community to growth, then everybody's lives get better. And that's what we want to see happen here at NBCC. We want to see your life get better. I want to see you spiritually grow. I want to not only see you spiritually grow, I want to see you physically grow, mentally grow, emotionally grow, financially grow, and relationally grow. I want to see you grow in those areas. And so when I say, okay, I'm going to be committed to this community, I'm going to be committed to growth, then guess what happens? Everyone will get better. And so when we truly love others and are committed to growing, we bring glory to God's name. So when I truly love you and I'm committed to growing, because I truly love you and I'm truly committed to growing, and we bring glory to God's name, and that's what we're to do. We're not supposed to bring glory to our name. NBCC is not to bring glory to Lester Bell Sr. or Lester Bell Jr.'s name. That's not what it's for. It's to bring glory to God's name. And so that's why it's important for us to be committed to community and be committed to growth. So another aspect of our commitment, and this is our last aspect of commitment. So one, we need to be committed to community. We need to be committed to growth. And lastly is this, we need to be committed to clarity. So God has placed within you a unique purpose to commit to the community. God has placed within you a unique purpose to commit to the community. See, God has placed something within you that is great, that will contribute to advancing the kingdom of God. So my gifting may not be your gifting. Your gifting may not be my gifting. And guess what? That's perfectly fine. But when I commit, when I commit my gifting, when I commit to clarity, to the community, then I see that gifting unfold. I see that clarity unfold. I become fulfilled in the will of God. And so this is what it says, excuse me, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." So when I say be committed to clarity, I mean be committed to the greater one who lives within you. Be committed to the great gifting that is within you. Because when you are committed to God, see, listen to this. So when you're committed to God, call you to be, then you see your life, like you see your life flourish. Like I'm seeing my life unfold and flourish because I'm committed to the gifting and the calling that God has called me to be. See, I'm not trying to be in anybody else's lane. I'm committed to the lane that God has called me to be in. And so since I'm committed to that lane, then that means that I'm committed to clarity. And so when you are committed to the wrong purpose, you are committed to an energy drainer. You've heard me say this. We talked about this in Rhythm and Flow. And we talked about how, you know, if you can be committed to the wrong thing and committed to the wrong ideas and the wrong purpose, and it's easy for you to be burnt out. But I believe that we can live in a community where you're not burnt out because you are committed to your purpose. You're not committed to my purpose. You're not committed to Sister So-and-so purpose or Brother So-and-so purpose. You are committed to your purpose. And when you are committed to clarity, you are committed to your purpose. So this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. And we're gonna hit on this barely, but we're gonna really hit on it in week 4 when we talk about clarity. So this is what the Word of God says. It says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." I can stop right there and drop the mic right there. I'm not going to drop this mic. It's my favorite mic. But the scripture says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And so there are diversities of gifts. There are diversities of ministries. There are diversities of activities. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So God has placed within you something unique for you to commit to the community so that we can all profit from it. That's what significance is about. So verse 8 says this, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And so all of these giftings and callings and ministries and activities, it's all the same Spirit, but it's all to be committed to community so that the community can flourish from it. See, when you are clear in who God called you to be, it will benefit everyone around you. See, a lot of times we're not benefiting those around us because we're not clear in what God called us to be. See, when you are not clear in what God called you to be, it will hurt everyone around you. When you are not clear in what God called and who God called you to be, it will hurt everyone around you because you will be trying to do everybody's calling and gifting. Oh, I want a little bit of this, and I want to look like the giftings are a smorgasbord. But I want to do this today, or I want to do this. No, when you are committed and you are clear to the purpose and the calling that God has called you, then you will help everyone around you. See, we have to stop hurting people in church. We have to help one another. And when we are committed to clarity, we are committed to purpose, then we can help one another. See, God wants us to be clear in who He called us to be. God wants us to be clear in who He called us to be. And so when I am clear on who God called me to be, then I'm not in competition with who God called you to be. And I'm not supposed to be in competition with you. I'm only supposed to compliment you. And so in order for us to be a healthy church, we have to be committed to community. We have to be committed to growth. And lastly, we have to be committed to clarity. So next week, we're going to help you get clear in who God called you to be so that you can commit to clarity, which will help you commit to growth, which will help you commit to help others in the community. And so it's important for us to be committed to clarity, to be committed to growth, and be committed to community. Because once we are, then we can see the body of Christ grow like never before. And so, wow, that was a phenomenal word. I'm out of breath because I was so excited. Lady Pilar asked me, she's like, "Do you hold your breath when you speak?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do. I think I get that from her." What she does when she exercises, she holds her breath. So text her right now and tell her not to hold her breath when she exercises, because Pastor Jay needs her in his life for a long time. And so, look, you all, I want you all to be committed. I want you all to be committed to what we're doing here at MBCC. See, we're trying to do church different. We're not trying to do church different. We are doing church different. Let me rephrase that. We are doing church different. We're not doing church as the usual, church as a norm, because I believe that God has called us to be set apart. God has called us to be a trendsetter. God has called us to be a pace setter in this region that we are in, and to really advance the kingdom of God. And so I want you to be committed. I want you to be committed to community. There's a gifting within you that you need to commit to this community so that we can grow, so that you can grow, so that your family can grow, so that you can get better, so that we can get better, because we're committed to growth. And so I really want you to be committed, because when you are committed, I guarantee you, you will see ministry done differently. I know you see it differently. You see it from a spectator view. I want you to see it from an advancer view, from a participator view. And so once again, thank you for joining us online.